you can't afford not to invest in the new SP238 Viking from Industrial Equipment Solutions. If your plow only plows snow, you're just plowing bullshit. Call your Department of Public Works now. Ask them to invest in the future with the SP238 Viking. Don't just plow snow, plow a path to freedom.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
8:12 on this Tuesday morning. Can also report all severe watches and warnings have now ended across southeast Wisconsin. Some areas still looking at a flood advisory until a little bit later this morning. But for the most part, the severe weather is over and done with for today. But for those remnants there in southern Kenosha County, Pleasant Prairie area might stretch back into and just about touch Walworth County there on the far western edge of the storms. Busy and loud morning here with this weather. I want to bring in Storm Team 4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson to get us an update here on what we saw blow through tonight. Brendan, looks like the largest part of the severe weather in terms of anything that could have been damaging stayed north of Milwaukee. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, Eric, Vince, what we call a mesoscale convective system. That's a big term.
Okay, triple word score on that one.
Yeah. For your Tuesday morning, an MCS, as we like to abbreviate it, but that was what we were particularly concerned about yesterday. And all models had suggested, you know, this time yesterday and even early afternoon that, yeah, that was going to head towards Milwaukee. Models are notorious for not getting those correct. And we, you know, usually can't really give you a good track until the storms actually initiate. And that didn't really happen until between 7 and 9 p.m. last night. So, yes, the main line of storms, that bow echo on radar, did not come through our area. It did track a little bit farther to the north, but we did clock some pretty impressive winds in Manitowoc and Sheboygan counties, a 63-mile-per-hour gust over in Sheboygan, 58 in Manitowoc, and had heard of about a 53-mile-per-hour gust in Appleton as those storms were coming through. So that was the powerful stuff, and then it went out over the lake. So it is more going to be Michigan issue for today. We were able to still catch those some showers and storms this morning.
All right, so that's beyond us. Are we good for a minute now? Can we stay dry for half
Jeez,
a second?
Give me a break, would you?
I know. We are really running above average. I mean, so far, we've picked up, 2.7 inches of rain so far this month. It seems like, a month has happened in a week. So yes, we're gonna breathe for a little bit. We will be watching showers and storms today down to the south, so over northern Illinois. We'll see how those kind of, interact with each other. If they decide, as they form, they sometimes generate outflow boundaries. They can kind of take on wild trajectories. But for the most part, southern Wisconsin for the rest of the day looking dry. Just keep an eye on the state line. But hot and humid today. Highs are back up towards about 90 degrees. And then Wednesday and Thursday looking dry too.
Talked with Craig Copleen about this, Brendan. We've asked Niz before as well. But it seems like we are stuck in this sort of unstable pattern that continues to cause this strong, if not severe, weather. Do you have a thought as to whether or not we remain stuck here for, and if so, for how long, or can't you tell?
Yeah, so I think, what they're kind of getting at is this big, giant, ridge of high pressure that was over the southeastern part of the country. And we were kind of in this railroad of heat and humidity. So we got round after round after round of showers and storms. And we were also pretty close to the jet stream. At this point, the pattern is now finally moving along. So essentially what this means is we can still, we can still get rain, but at least we are getting some more breaks and not getting hit constantly like we were. But welcome to summer. There is a dome of heat that sits over the southern United States. So, this is our most active time of the year. It's just unfortunately the last few weeks have been particularly active, and we've dealt, with a lot of severe weather, a really active season of note. In the last several years, it's been a while since it's been this active.
And you don't need us to tell you that because I saw you in on Saturday night, right, dealing with the severe weather, even though you had to get up for daybreak the next day.
Let me point out, Brendan, I was in Williams Bay when that was all taking place. So I want to just say thank you. Thank you to you and Niz, man. We were hanging on your every word. Appreciate everything you were doing that night.
Oh, no, I'm glad you guys are keeping an eye on it, and we appreciate that. It's when we see things like that happening, developing really quickly, you know, you want to get out and try and tell people about it. And, Williams Bay, I mean, we got some pretty incredible video of that storm going out over, you know, Geneva Lake. And, gosh, I mean, it was like a wall of rain. People thought that was the tornado. I have to tell people, no, that's actually a rain shaft. But actually, inside that rain shaft, there was actually a tornado, as we found out later with all that damage. So, that was a crazy night.
I'll point out one more thing, too. And we talked to Copleen about this, Brendan. What was interesting to me listening to him and then watching you and Niz was how certain you both appeared that you were looking at an actual on-the-ground tornado based on the radar data that and the indications that you were getting. I thought that was really interesting and appreciate how you both walked us all through that as viewers.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate it. You know, the radar is our best tool short of anybody actually observing a tornado on the ground. And with that situation Saturday night, with how much rain was falling, any tornado that would form would have been completely obscured. And, you know, you saw the videos of that rain shaft moving over Geneva Lake. No one's going to see a tornado in that. So the best tool we've got is the radar. We had the rotation. And then when the radar started picking up the debris, that's pretty much, you know, we know something's up in the air. You know, if there's rotation and then we get debris, you know, we can, as meteorologists, say, all right, there's something's going on, and you got to take it seriously. And ultimately, we wound up having two tornadoes around Lake Geneva Williams Bay area Saturday night.
Storm Team 4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson live with us this morning. Thanks, my friend.
Yes, thank you, guys. Take care.
And been an exhaustive stretch for those guys. I mean, I know that's what they get paid for, but that said, you know, when Brendan comes in and the few hours off he has over the weekend to help Niz at night, and then he's back super early in the morning and all that. Not for nothing. These guys have worked pretty hard. Did have some ponding earlier today. That situation is all cleared up. We got a good amount of rain in a short burst here in southeast Wisconsin.
Now, you and I disagree over whether or not this worked or not, but okay. So there's standing water on the off ramp. What was that? 94 westbound Waukesha County near Highway 164.
Yeah. I mean, so if you wanted to get off the freeway to go on 164, right, that exit was closed for what, about a half hour?
It's back open now, but it was closed, and they busted out the plow and had a plow that, not a blade, but what was it, like just a spinny?
When they put the attachment on, that's like a large brush, and sometimes they use it for snow removal. Okay. It's like that's the sound it makes.
Yeah.
I always call it the Whisper 2000.
I knew exactly what you were asking. Anyway, they use that to remove, quote unquote, the water.
I don't know that helped. I think it just went away.
You think the water just went into the drains?
Well, we're particularly interested in this because what really caught our eye was about a year ago, more?
Longer than that.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
When we had a flooding situation, there was standing water on the freeway, also in Waukesha County. I think this was right underneath the underpass at Highway 16 there on 94. And they brought out snow plows with the blades down, with the snow blade down. Yeah. And they tried to plow the water out. And we had a good laugh about that.
So,
right? Watching it in real time.
Correct. Which made us...
Go ahead and play if you want. Okay, so that caused us at the time to make this spoof of like a super plow, right?
And it was very popular at the time.
All right, so you want Super Plow?
I think we need
it. All right, give it to him, Pancake.
Hi, folks. Buck Kopinski with IES Industrial Equipment Solutions, here to tell you about the next generation in plow technology. If your city, town, or village does not have this plow, you need to demand this plow. Introducing the SP238 Viking. Ramming speed.
What's the SP stand for? Snowplow?
In our 238 Viking model, the SP stand for Superplow, because she plow a whole lot more than snow.
Really? Like what?
You got yourself standing water on the freeway, our laser precision Superplow blade creates an airtight seal with the pavement. Floodwaters be gone, you just plow right on through all the way to the river.
Well, I'm a parks superintendent. How will this plow help me in the summer months?
I'll tell you how it'll help you in the summer. The SP238 Viking is highly versatile. You can even replace your whole fleet of lawnmowers. You plow them soccer fields and ball diamonds, you won't need to mow for months. Get rid of that pesky sod in no time flat. You'll be sitting in the office, windows open, sipping a tall glass of lemonade all summer long.
We've had a shortage of school buses in my community. That's top of mind for young families.
And what kid wouldn't want to arrive to school in style sitting atop the shiny blade on front of the Viking?
for seven small children in the spacious cab, and because our Razor Precision Super Plow blades are perfectly balanced, you can strap a few young ones right to the front, and they are guaranteed not to fall off less than they want to.
Our budget's airtight where I live. Sounds like we wouldn't be able to afford a new super plow like this in my community.
You can't afford not to invest in the new SP238 Viking from Industrial Equipment Solutions. If your plow only plows snow, you're just plowing bullshit. Call your Department of Public Works now. Ask them to invest in the future with the SP238 Viking. Don't just plow snow, plow a path to freedom. On this Tuesday morning, Wisconsin's morning news. Boy, this puts it in perspective, too. We've been kind of complaining about the weather a little bit and this pattern we're stuck in. Somebody just texted the WTMJ talking text line saying, there are only 9 weekends left.
Oh, don't say
that. I suppose, what, through August? Yeah,
it's amazing,
I guess,
how
right?
quickly.
July, August, and one more here in June.
We always run into scheduling, like Angel say, man, every weekend we have is booked through August.
Like, yeah, oh,
come
right?
on. Come on. Dang. Anyway, hey, speaking of scheduling, yeah, have you ever been stuck at an in-law's house because of weather-related issues, or have you ever had family or friends stuck at your house because flights were canceled?
Snow, hey,
or
we were going to try to get back. We're going to try to get out today, but we're going to have to, we'll stay the night yet.
And it's such a frustrating situation when you're not under control of your, you know, you're not in control of when you want to do something like that. Well, it's happening again right now in space. NASA once again postponing the return of the Boeing Starliner's first crewed mission to the International Space Station.
The Boeing-built spacecraft had launched with one small helium leak. Now it has five. Starliner also lost five small maneuvering engines on its final approach to the space station. All but one were recovered. But the glitches convinced NASA to delay Starliner's return to Earth.
All right, so that means that right now those astronauts they sent up there are still there. According to CBS correspondent Mark Strassman, they got nowhere to go.
Starliner could stay in space at least a few more weeks before it would have to return to Earth. And until it does, astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams will be extra hands to help out on the space station.
I love the way they present that. Oh, they'll help out. With
just
other
help
things.
Out. No, they don't
those
need...
other astronauts don't want them up there anymore.
maybe they're happy for the company.
Aren't you overstaying your welcome a little bit here?
You think that's what's happening? I don't understand why Starliner would have to come back in 3 weeks or whatever. Why?
I imagine that there's just, schedules and systems and whatnot that are in place. And, they're just going to stay connected to the space station forever?
Right.
You can't do that.
Well, my guess is that it doesn't have to. Like, it's not an either or. They can bring up extra supplies to the space.
Oh,
like, they'll
true.
Survive. It was the have to. It has to come back and through. I don't know that that's the case.
Well, what's interesting, too, is that you may recall it took them a while to get up there, right? They kept delaying it and this and that.
Yeah,
and
run well,
up
I guess they should have kept delaying it.
And enough where then they had to, like, prevent them from taking some of their luggage. So how often are they doing their laundry up there? I mean, they don't have half the stuff that they were going to bring up there.
I only brought change of clothes for 7 days.
Now I'm staying for another 3 weeks. Imagine staying at the in-laws that long because you can't leave. I'm just saying. Same
didn't
situation.
Even bring all my shoes.
So hopefully they're back sooner than later. But as of now, no
going. If we were going out for nice dinner, I would have brought nice dress clothes.
Amazing technology, incredible medical technology, just took place at Northwestern Medical in Chicago. John Nicholas, 28 years old. He's had kidney failure and kidney disease.
28, huh?
Most of his life. He's the first person ever to undergo a kidney transplant while being awake. Oh. It sounds crazy, but it's not.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
Instead of general anesthesia, doctors gave Nicholas a single spinal anesthesia shot.
It took less than 2 hours, and John was discharged and able to walk out of the hospital less than 24 hours later.
So that's Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Satish Nagi there. He says basically it's like a C-section. When you get a C-section, if you're giving birth,
you're not out for that.
You're not out for that.
Okay, right. Mom's awake.
Similar situation here. And oftentimes, transplant recipients are intubated, and that can require longer recovery time. And there's oftentimes where they have to take more drugs. This guy was awake, and he even saw the new organ. He saw the kidney as they were bringing it, like, to the table.
That particular moment where I saw the kidney in Dr. Nadeek's hands, like, extremely powerful to see that.
They brought it out like a dessert tray with other organs.
Which one of these would you like?
No, but I can't. Like this,
the steak tray over at Moe's, right?
You know, stop it.
New York Strip. I have the, this is our Wagyu beef.
But imagine that. I mean, and there's pictures of it. There's pictures of Nicholas on the surgery table, and he's looking as they're carrying this transplant kidney.
Why are they doing this? Like,
and it's more than just because they can,
okay.
Right? Yes.
There's a reason. A
couple of reasons. One, typically patients need a lot of painkillers, opioid, that kind of stuff. This case, this guy didn't need any, which is incredible.
What?
Yeah, didn't need any.
They still had to cut a hole in him, right?
Still doesn't need the painkillers.
So stuff together. Wow.
They can help for patients who are considered higher risk to undergo general anesthesia. So if you have any kind of lung disease or different things going on, this helps you do that, which is amazing. Plus, perhaps the most important, according to the doctor,
it can really open the door to so many more people that have kidney failure that can make their major operation that they're going to undergo more of an overnight procedure.
Overnight. So he's gone and back home the next day. At some point, this will likely be outpatient surgery. They'll do it in half
new
a day.
New kidney in the morning, you're home in the evening, right?
Ooh, the insurance companies are going to love that.
There is that, and sometimes you want to stay in the hospital, but generally speaking, you'd rather be home than in the hospital as well.
So that idea is incredible.
You mentioned the intubation. When I had my appendix out, and I had it out as an adult, what, like 4 years ago maybe? So I must have been intubated, right? Because I remember him saying, like, your throat might be sore because we've got the tube down there. Is that what it is?
Likely, right.
So if you could avoid that, that would be pleasant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, and you know what kept me in the hospital longer? From that surgery, it wasn't the issue with the surgery because they were able to do arthroscopic, is that what they call it? Or laparoscopic or whatever. So they didn't have to make, you know, a giant cut.
Sure.
But it was my recovery from the anesthesia. Like that took a long time. They knocked me out.
And everyone's different too as far as how they're going to be able to recover.
I was otherwise ready to go home, but the anesthesia in certain parts of the body had not fully worn off. And like, you can't go home until we take care of that.
I mean, it's really incredible. Just another step forward in that medical process. I mean, the things they're able to do now, incredible. And here this guy was awake the whole time. You can only imagine it's going to happen more and more.
8:43 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Coming up, you know, we've seen members of the Milwaukee Public School Board. You mentioned there was going to be a big meeting tonight. And we'll tell you a little bit more about what that could be about also. But you've seen members of the school board in the wake of this crisis running to their cars, not answering questions, not having additional news conferences. We have the vice president of the school board in this studio on Monday, and I'll play you a few of the highlights from her conversation with John Mercure and Julia Fellow coming up. Basically, what did the board know, and when did they know it, and how are we moving forward? That's next. Hi. 8:47, Wisconsin's Morning News. We didn't know how bad it was. We were essentially lied to by the CEO. We may be even worse off initially than thought financially. And, oh, by the way, you ain't getting none of that money back from the referendum. A few quick takeaways from an extended interview with the vice president of the Milwaukee Public Schools Board of Directors. Board meets tonight. We'll walk you through the agenda and then a few highlights from Jilly Gokul Gandhi being here, the vice president who was in studio. I give her credit. She is a well-spoken member of the school board. They have trotted her out for the news conference to basically take the questions, only two here, two, four.
Right.
But I give her credit for coming in and sitting down with Julia Fellow and John Mercure here on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Had her in studio for about 10 minutes. She took all the questions, some of which had yet to be answered. So let's first start with what did the board know and when did they know it? Reports that board hasn't been entirely above board, if you will, with how much they knew about the financial crisis that MPS was in before it all came to a head.
Was that there were some documents that needed to be submitted and that the administration was working really hard to get those done. You know, if you go back and look at our school board meetings between March and December of last year, we were given assurances after assurances that these documents were being submitted. Even our consulting group Protivity and Robert Half was brought in. They gave us a status update of what was going on. And so we were assured time and time again. And so, no, we didn't know that this was the extent of the problem. And when we found out was when DPI sent us that letter on a Friday in
May. Was the superintendent assuring you that everything was kosher and everything was being done?
Yeah, the administration kept on giving us assurances that, you know, the audit was on track and that we were doing the communication we needed to do to get our state funding.
So again, that's Vice President of the School Board, Jilly Gokulgandhi, on with John McKeer and Julia Fellow, Wisconsin's Afternoon News. I'll give her some room there. I've been on boards, you know, and your job as a board of directors, whether you're talking about a school board or a nonprofit board like I was on, is the most important thing you do is hire and manage the CEO position, who is essentially the superintendent. And your CEO comes in and presents, and yes, you do have audits, and yes, you do have, a finance committee and whatever that's supposed to look at the documents and things like that. But you can call your CEO on the carpet and say, like, hey, what's going on with this? Hey, what's going on? And if you're getting lied to.
Right. You're putting your trust in them to provide information that you can assume is correct.
So I'll give her some room there. That said, this is a paid board. I would suggest most school boards in Wisconsin are not paid. Volunteer positions are people who want to do something for their community, or oftentimes it's a springboard to other political activity that you want to have. But nonetheless, most of that work is volunteer. These members of the board get, I think it's $18,000, maybe $19,000 a year to do a job. So you ought to be doing it a little bit better than that. And if you're getting lied to, some of that's on you as well. But fair enough, her answer to that question is yes, we were asking these questions and they were getting lied to. In terms of the current financial state, MPS may be actually worse off than we initially thought.
We now know, according to DPI, that they overpaid the district. The district got more money than they should have, and that money has been spent. How problematic is it if they come back and say, the district needs to pay that money back, or we will take that out of future money? That money's already been spent. This is a district that doesn't have money just, you know, sitting around in corners. How problematic is that?
Yeah, it's absolutely problematic. And that's why we brought in Todd Gray to help us really assess what are the things we can do internally, right? That estimate that you've given is a small percentage of our budget. And so currently we're looking at what are the different scenarios in which we can continue to provide for our kids and our families and our educators in buildings without having them sacrifice on the core of their educational needs.
Jilly Gokulgandhi, Vice President of the School Board in Milwaukee, talking with John McKeer and Julia Fellow on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. She mentioned Todd Gray. That's the former superintendent in Waukesha who's been brought in as a financial advisor to help get them started down
this
path.
Dealing with the ball of wax.
What do you think that's like when he walked in there? You open those books. I know I told you it'd be a few weeks, and whatever they're paying him, $40,000 or something like that. Yeah, I'm going to be here all summer, and it's going to cost you more. Right.
So where are your books? Right. We have no books.
Let's see what we have here. Ooh. So that's the current situation. A lot of folks, we've had folks on the WTMJ text line ask us this question. What about the referendum? We feel like we were lied to. We feel like we didn't have all this information. We never would have given MPS a quarter billion additional dollars every year if we had known they were in such financial straits, dire straits. And how about getting some of that money back? So here, McKeer and Julia Fellow go at Jilly Gokulgandhi on that point.
This is absolutely necessary for our operational needs to serve our kids. You know, people want small class sizes. They want art, gym, and music. They want their kids to have experiences that kids in the suburbs are getting. And so what we need money to do that, right? To serve 70,000 kids with 70,000 different needs.
But the promise was to keep, you know, everything as is. That's what Polsley told us right here, right, John?
Right.
And then we learn after it passed that we're going to cut about 300 positions, and we don't know whether they're
vacant.
After
he told us that wouldn't happen. And I know that was him, not you. But what we're getting at is there the chance you won't use all the money, or is all the money going to be used?
Again, we're one out of 100 school districts that are
I know, but I'm asking about you, your district.
And it's different because Dr. Pulsley wasn't honest with us and with the voters.
So again, you know, again, for us, accountability is key and first and center, right? And so we've brought in Todd, who's going to help us sort of assess our situation. What do we need? What don't we need? And it's a dynamic evolving situation. And so part of me being here and moving forward is that we're going to keep the public abreast of what's going on and what we're learning.
But so no, probably not going to get any portion of that. 250, you know, they're going to spend every bit.
Yep,
and her point is that they need to. In terms of what action could be taken tonight, there's only, I think, one item on the agenda, and it is consideration of and possible action on the appointment of an interim superintendent of schools. We told you Eduardo Gavan, who's a front office person in MPS for a long time, is running the district right now. My guess is, since it's so quickly after that announcement, they're going to appoint Galvan as the interim superintendent. That's my guess. I don't know that. No one's indicated that to me, but I think, what was it, just last week or the week before, they said he's going to run things. Having seen how quickly that has occurred, my guess is they'll name him interim tonight and then fully launch their intergalactic search for long-term superintendent. 8:54, Wisconsin's Morning News.
Rejuvenex.com to request your appointment.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee.
From the Annex Wealth Management Studios,
this is News Radio WTMJ,
a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition.
What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
Yeah, morning storms were the story to start the day, but now it's hot and humid and a high of 91 degrees in store for your Tuesday. We should cool off rather quickly. Tonight's low down to 67, and then Wednesday's high just 80 degrees. On Wednesday, we have a spotty shower chance, which would be nice.
Certainly could dry for at least a day or two.
Jeez, can we dry out a little bit? 8:58, WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi. Up next...